Hey guys, my name is Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Beard, and I am with Richie Swan.
Hi.
And we are a girl and a guy in the gym. It is the second week in Jan. It's freezing. We're skint. We're fuming. We still feel the show after Christmas because we had far too many Baileys, far too many pigs in blankets, and we are on a mission. We are on one. So we thought, because our last couple of series and in our first episode we talked loads about calorie counting and the importance of it, we'd actually look at what calorie counting is and the pros and cons of it.
I've wrote a little statement out here. When I say I have, Harriet has, and I'm just going to read it out. So, because Harriet's not the planet again. So before we look into the pros and cons, you need to assess, do calories matter? In short, yeah, they do. So when the body isn't taking in, for example, eating and drinking as many calories as it's using, keeping you alive, moving, etc., it will resort to breaking down fat stores to power itself, hence the term burning fat. So your body burns the fat and uses it like fuel. So if you're eating in a deficit consistently, which means less than your body burns, your body will consistently reach out to those fat stores for fuel. Before you know it, your body fat percentage has dropped. I never read that last line right.
Okay, so let's start by looking at the pros of it, because we go on about it quite a lot.
Yeah.
So we've kind of broken it down a little bit to like a review. The first pro is, I think I've definitely been guilty of it, but a lot of people underestimate how many calories are actually in things. We've done an episode before, I think it was in series 2, where we talked about like we were shocked at how many calories were actually in certain foods and how many calories were in certain drinks and stuff, and how you could cut calories by changing things. Tracking your foods and actually knowing how many calories you've taken in for the day can often be the difference between you losing fat and not, by making certain changes that, you know, you might grab, okay, I'm having a butty, so I'm going to use this bread. Well, or actually, I could still have that sandwich. I could still have this. If I change from this bread to this bread, it's half the calories.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're massively right there. There's a lot of people say they're tracking and they're they don't weigh the food, and we spoke about this last week. So the difference between guessing how much pasta you have with your bolognese and weighing it, I get meal prep done a lot of the year, and when you get a 500 or 400 odd calorie bowl of pasta with sauce, it's bloody tiny.
Yeah.
And it's quite easy to eat 2, 3, 4 times higher than that.
I remember when this time last year, I told all my clients, right, I want you to all buy a set of food scales, because I knew that loads of them were guessing. And I remember two of my clients, Anya and Gia, they came in and they were mortified.
How much they were eating over?
Yeah, it was cereal. Like how much 40 grams of cereal is. Now, I mean, some people, I know someone who says that they can have one sachet of porridge, you know, like the Oats So Simple sachets.
No.
And they're fine. I am starving off one sachet of porridge. It's tiny, and that's 30 grams. So if you've been putting in, right, I've had a bowl of cereal, so I'll just assume it's 30 grams. No. When I realised and started tracking it properly, I was having like 80, 90 grams of cereal and not even realising I was doing it. And then it's not even just like the sugar intake, because most of the time I was having like as low sugar ones as you could have. But still, it was far, far, far more calories than I ever thought I was having. So the first thing is, your first pro is that, okay, you actually know how much you are taking in.
Yeah, you're aware of what your body works off. Knowledge is power, isn't it? We've spoke about that as well before. What else have we got? So people that focus on high protein or low carb often don't check the total daily calories they consume. And so you can eat no carbs for a month, but if the body isn't in a deficit and using it as fat stores to burn energy, you aren't going to lose weight.
Yeah, so like these are people that say, right, I'm being dead good, I'm no carb, I'm dead high protein. What's that? I'm having 6 boiled eggs a day and I'm just having loads of chicken breasts, and my only carbs is that I'm having rice and I'm having loads of salad. Okay, and that's all great. If you're eating a better quality of food, great. But
you still got to track it.
That's all well and good. You're eating better, healthier choices and lower salt and lower sugar and lower saturated fat. All these things are great for long-term health benefits. But if your goal is to lose weight, you have to know how much of it you're putting in your gob to know that you're in that deficit.
Well, it's funny you say that. I had a client, I can't track. I know I eat healthy. I have this. And we went for lunch once and she got this salad box. The salad box was huge. It had no carbs in it. It had full avocado sliced up. It had loads of coleslaw, loads. But it was calorific. I could see by looking at it, I was like, babe, you are not losing weight because you're not what, like, yeah, you've got loads of goodness in there in forms, yeah, but you've got high fat. 1 gram of fat is 9 calories, isn't it? Where 1 gram of protein and carbs is 4 calories. She was eating a high fat diet, but not moderating it or tracking it. So she was like,
so she still wasn't losing the
still
weight.
Still wasn't losing weight.
So yet. What I'd say is, okay, you need to know how much you're putting in your carb, but then also like making sure that you're not just focusing on that trend of no carbs or high protein, or I'm just going to get this bar because it's a protein bar. Babe, that protein bar has probably still got as many calories yeah, as the Snickers next to it on the shelf.
And it's just being accountable, isn't it? It's like, if something's that important for you, you want to lose this half a stone or this stone to feel good, get back into that dress size. Like when you had the baby. You haven't just guessed, you've had to go, okay, right, you're tracking your food now every day.
Yeah.
And you're a PT, you train all the time, you know, but you still have to track. We all have to know what we're doing.
This is probably the first Christmas ever, I think, that I still actually tracked over Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't like, you know, weighing every single thing, but I was, I would say, 80% of the time still being good. And then, so Christmas week, I would still weigh my food or know exactly what I was kind of doing and had that plan every other day. And then that 20% where, you know, you relax and you do whatever, I used that as my Christmas day and thought, do you know what? I'm having a ball today. I'll just do what I want. But still, because I'd been tracking, your tummy is actually smaller. You're fuller quicker. You're not looking to do that binge. So track it by terms of weighing it. Have your time off, but still be accountable for that time off. And don't treat yourself as if you are being forced to be on that diet or be in that deficit. If it's something you want to do, it's something you've got to commit to.
So tracking calories can create a mindfulness to how much you consume, but also making healthier food choices.
If you're aware or you've been using your MyFitnessPal or before you actually eat it, you track something, you might look at it and go, do you know what? That's well more calories than I thought. And I know that I still want this many calories for the rest of the day, or I've only got this many calories for the day left. Well, you'll probably be more mindful of, all right, do you know what? I don't need that side of chips, or I don't need this. Or instead of, if I'm going out tonight, I know I want to save some calories to have a bevy. I know that, okay, in a gin and tonic, there's 100 and something calories. So I'm not going to have a sandwich at lunch. I might have a salad and I'll make it myself because I know exactly what's in it and I'll go for the lighter choices.
But a gin and tonic, but if you have a slimline tonic, it's only 49.
Well, that's the most important thing. Yeah. You take anything from this podcast.
Which is the same as if you have a celebration, it's around 40 odd calories. One single celebration. Babe, I'm going to ruin your life now because you had 10 last night, which is the same as having a meal. 10 celebrations, you're looking at about 380 calories, maybe 430 calories, something like that.
What's your favourite celebration, Malteser?
Oh, I love a Malteser.
I love a Bounty, you know.
Oh, they're the worst.
I know, everyone hates them, but I love them.
No, calorie-wise, they're the worst.
A Bounty? Sure. No, it's got coconuts in it.
Yeah, what have we Googled it? Have we got 44 calories, celebrations, Bounty Maltesers, Caramel Galaxy, Snicker, Milky Way. But no, but honestly, so if you, it's how easy is it for you to just have 10?
Oh my God.
When you find out one is 44 calories, one, what the fuck are you celebrating? Nothing.
Yeah. Okay, so then the fourth point, and like one of the other pros, would be that when you're doing a diet and stuff like that, or even in your normal day-to-day routine, even though some people, they get up and they kind of wing the day and like they love the randomness of life and the randomness of, okay, I'm going to go into the shop, I'm going to get whatever I want. And it's very like lax and it's easy to do. Actually having some type of a structure, it is a lot more beneficial and it's easier to kind of know where you're at all times and have something to go back to. That's not saying that you need to weigh and track everything, that you can't go out for a meal if you want to go out for a meal. You can't go out for a drink if you want to go out for a drink. It's just having a structure to always come back to. I think that's why things like Slimmers and Weight Watchers and stuff I've worked for so many people because
it's a structure.
It's just a structure and it's a routine. And because you're in a routine, you're less likely to turn around and go, oh, well, I've got nothing in. I don't know what I'm doing for me turn. I don't know what I'm doing with this. So I'll just get a chippy on the way out.
Yeah. And I get, yeah. And I'd say the structure is great. But the problem with the likes of Slimmest World and Weight Watchers is they don't teach people, do they, about the amount of calories. So imagine if you have that knowledge now about what your body works off. So if you achieve so much with Slimmer's World, how much you could achieve by yourself by just knowing what calories you're taking in and what calories are in food.
Yeah, so get yourself into like a bit of a routine. You know, you have a structure to your life to a degree, even if you've got like mad shifts. You know, I know nurses and anyone that works in the NHS, a lot of people work mad shift patterns and, you know, it is hard. If you make it so that that's the one thing that never changes, you know that no matter what it is, you're tracking it, you're still accountable, even if you have to go into the shopping way because you're so chocker, you've had to work overtime, you've had to do this, that, and the other, or you've got 3 kids at home that are screaming, you've got a husband who works mad hours, and you don't have any of that time for yourself. As long as that's that one thing that almost you're taking the responsibility away from yourself to say, okay, well, I know my fitness pal will do that for me. I know that I only have to go on my calorie calculator every couple of weeks once my weight has changed, yeah, if it has, to readdress, okay, how many calories should I be on now? And I know that I don't have to worry about the rest of it as long as I'm hitting that deficit every single day.
It's like before when I ran to Tesco for us to get a butty for doing this. You got all them butties in the fridge and then you've got them going from 600 calories down to about 350.
Yeah.
So your lunch, just grabbing a quick sandwich and a meal deal, pop chips, how many calories in a pack of pop chips?
Compared to
what's in a back of McCoy's. So having the same lunch, just going for the lower, like looking at the labels of what calories are in, a tuna sweet corn, an egg crest, chicken sweet corn, whatever is the lower.
Yeah.
And then the pop chips, like we say, water instead of a Coke or even Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You can still have your normal lifestyle. You can still have your normal routine. Yeah. But by tracking it, you will naturally go for the lower calorie things. But like, even like things like loads of ice creams and stuff like that, like in the summer when it was roasting, loads of my clients were going, oh my God, I can't believe mini Twisters are only 70 calories or whatever they were. And that became like Halo Top ice cream went off because they just put the calories on the front of the thing. And then people became more aware going, oh my God, but can you believe Ben and Jerry's is 1,400?
Yeah, it was more.
Yeah,
so now they were aware of what was good. They were brought how bad Ben and Jerry's was because it is calorific, isn't it?
It's insane. So what I'd say to you is if you're becoming more aware of it over time without realizing you're doing it, you're absorbing all that stuff and all those facts and all those, you know, kind of become to know what calories are in things. Like if I'm craving chocolate, sometimes I'll go into the shop and I'll just grab a little bag of Maltesers because I still know it's less than 200 calories. Right, okay, let's go into cons.
So cons on, what do you think the cons are on calorie tracking?
I think some people say I haven't got time or they can find it stressful. The thought of sometimes adding another thing to do into your day can be a little bit overwhelming, especially if you have a high stress life or a high stress environment at home and you still have that you know, association with food, that's your comfort. You don't want to make it clinical, I think. Do you know what I mean by that?
I do know what you mean, but I also, like, I've seen this on Instagram and I think it's a great, like, way of putting it. If you've got no money in your bank, would you go and spend money?
So, is this after you've maxed the overdraft?
Well, yeah, basically. So calorie counting is the same as your bank account. You go, oh, it's not healthy. Oh, you're stressed. You can't keep counting it. Well, I'm sorry. If you haven't got the money in your bank, you don't spend it. You can't afford it. It's the same as if you want to be healthy and in shape and feel good. You haven't got the calories. Don't eat them.
Yeah.
It's, to me, as simple as that.
If it's an excuse that you've allowed yourself to use in the past.
And that's the word. It's excuses.
It is an excuse, right? Everybody's life is stressful. Right? That's you can say, well, that person hasn't got kids, so they don't know. Okay, everybody's life. You have got no idea what goes on behind closed doors.
And not
what
just that, your stress is your stress. You can't change it. You've got to make the most of it. If that's your situation, it's not going to change. Yeah. So what do you do? Just blame everyone around you? No, you've got look to at yourself.
I used to have a girl and she used to always say to me, she never had time. So in the end, I said to her, right, okay, so through the
girl
day,
with 88 selfies on Instagram a day on a story. Yeah. I don't have no time, babe.
If, right, you are just going through the day and you know what you've eaten and it's all just things like one sachet of porridge and you have that with water or what, you know, whatever you do. If then you go for a wee, okay, put it in your MyFitnessPal when you have a wee. If you get a bowl out the cupboard to put your cereal in, get the scales out and weigh the bowl and then zero, weigh the cereal. It's that extra 10, 20 seconds that you've convinced yourself you don't have time for, but you still have time to sit on your ass and watch crap. Do you know what I mean?
And I think it is, it's that fear of, one, laziness, you can't be arsed, but also having to, it's the fear of having to be aware and go, I am actually responsible, it's my own fault. Where a lot of people go, I've got this allergy, or I'm this intolerant. You've got excuses.
Okay, so the next con is that when your sole focus jumps to hitting calories and or sometimes macro targets, which would be like your carbs, hitting so many grams of protein a day, some people forget how important actually eating a better quality of food is as well. So the principles remain the same. You want to get plenty of nutrient-dense, minimally processed food in your diet. That is the cleverest sentence I've said in my life. I'm just going to say it again. The principles should remain the same. Get plenty of nutrient-dense, minimally processed food in your diet. Focus on food quality and calorie intake, not just one or the other. So you're my fitness pal. Shouldn't just say, okay, so for me breakfast I had one piece of toast all day, but I'm still in a calorie deficit. Okay, but do you feel good? Are you energized? You know, if you're turning around saying I'm knackered, or turning around, which loads of girls do, and go, I'm anemic. Okay, but are you doing everything you can to make sure that you're getting that iron in?
Do you know what, we should get Sarah in to talk, who does the allergy testing, and talk to her about how many people diagnose themselves with I'm allergic to this, or it's because of this, or...
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I convinced myself years ago that I had an allergy to dairy. I was like, because every time I eat cheese, I was like, I get so unwell, blah, blah, blah. No, it was because I used to go to the Casa Italia, which, if you're not from Liverpool, the Casa Italia is an Italian restaurant where everything is drowned in 95 layers of cheese. It is gorgeous, like, but not if you're on a diet. But I used to go to the Casa. I used to have a garlic cheesy bread. And then I'll take you. Not when we're on a diet.
In May.
Yeah. And then I'd eat like a whole pizza, and then I'd pick at Luke's lasagna or whatever. And then I'd go home and my belly would be like, feel bloated to death. I'd feel terrible. And I'd say, but it's because I'm allergic to dairy and I've just eaten dairy. No, hon, it's because you've just shoveled.
Because you just had 6,000 calories.
Yeah.
So a con is people who have issues with food could use this in a negative way.
Yeah, so if you're someone who's had issues before with your body image, where you might have had anorexia or bulimia, or you've had issues with body dysmorphia, or even like, you know, things with food. I think there's a massive thing with girls when you actually open the door and turn around and go, do you know what? So many girls have had days where they've starved themselves because they felt like shit, have had days where they've binge ate and then made themselves sick. I've had these conversations so many times, and I'm only one trainer, so you know the amount of people that have done it. If you're someone, right, who really does suffer with something like that, do you think MyFitnessPal would be something that's beneficial for you?
I just think you can't change it. It's science. It's what your body works off. Now, if you're not aware of that, you need to be aware of it. Now, a lot of people go, oh, it's a bit excessive, or it's not healthy for your mental health. Well, I'm sorry, that's what your body works off. You need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe people, they do become upset. Maybe it's a case of they need therapy or they need to go and speak. There's issues. A lot of the time, it's something from the past. It's emotionally connected. And they're going to have them issues, whether they're counting it or not. And they need to think about what step they need to take to offload whatever it is that they're trying to keep in control of. To me, I don't think there can really be a negative of it, because you're aware. If you struggle with food and you eat over it, if you eat under, you've got a problem. Do you know what I mean? It's about finding that balance.
I think with some people that are genuinely sick, though, and I've had a couple in the past that I would personally, you know, say that they had been unwell. I don't know if I would ask them to track their food, because I think they would use it in a way where they'd be like, well, I've only had 800 calories today, and would thrive off that.
Yeah, it's like I've had to say to someone in the past and gone, listen, babe, if I was you, I'd save you money on training. you need, like, obviously it's not just come out the blue, we've had in-depth conversations and I've gone, maybe it's better for you to look at going to getting counselling or getting some kind of therapy that's going to help you have a better relationship with food.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's, if anything's going to help that mental health side.
Do you know what though? In terms of like therapy and stuff like that, because we've talked about it before, like I am a massive fan of it. And we've talked about it loads, like where it says, sometimes are you using a diet to try and solve something that okay, this is not actually anything to do with that. Like if you are not addressing the demons that are in your closet, will you always go back to those old behaviours of binge eating, of putting yourself down, using food, or like,
well, it's like
self-deprecating
alcohol, isn't it?
Yourself?
Or a drug addict, or so. Food is that same. And a lot of the time, like when my mum was on and she was saying, when you were sick or when you were younger, and food was used as love. So people then start self-medicating love with food or whatever it is, the reason. Yeah. But then it's still an issue that needs to be resolved if it becomes a problem that it's created an eating disorder or whatever. But then that's on a whole nother level beyond what we're about, that people
that's something
need to
we
then
should touch on probably in a few more episodes.
It is, but again, I think it's that sensitive, isn't it? It's like,
it is sensitive, but what I'd say is if you know that you are either maybe an emotional eater or you have association with food to comfort yourself or association with stopping yourself from having food or controlling yourself through food, would it be beneficial for you at the same time to maybe invest in some therapy? And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go into a room, sit on a chair in front of a middle-aged woman and tell her your life story. It doesn't. There's loads of things over the phone where you never have to see anyone. There's loads of stuff like online forums and online stuff if you look on the NHS website. But it might be something that, if that's an issue for you, be honest, flip it on its head this time, really address it. And this year and this decade, let's get it done.
Yeah. You only live once. It's not long enough to be that unhappy with yourself, that you're having to be that in control of, or self-harm yourself with food kind of thing. So
yeah,
if that is you can always message us if you don't know where to go, and we'll put you in touch with whatever.
The last con for me is sometimes, you know, when you're flicking through Instagram stories and you'll see like someone writing on their Instagram story, oh my God, I'm having a pizza for my tea, still in a calorie deficit, still losing weight. You're like, shut up, Sharon. Do you know what I mean? Like, one thing I'd say is, right, I'm made up for you and you are made up for you. And if you're, like, I've put my pictures up since I had the baby and lost the weight because I was dead proud of myself.
What was that, Sharon?
I know. But I'd never turn around and be like, well, I'm eating this and I'm still losing weight. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I get what you're saying, but Joe, sometimes, right, I think it's not necessarily for everyone to see. It's to keep them motivated.
Yeah.
So they're putting it out there. Do you know what I mean? That's how sometimes it could be more. It's not about, look at me, what I'm doing. It's about, if I do that, I've got to just have the one slice because I've said that now and I've put it out there.
Do you know what? Maybe me even saying that is like my own little self-loathing thing where I'm like,
because you do it.
She was eating healthier than me, fucking bitch. And
but
I'm
really
like,
really, what
there.
She's doing is she's just being accountable. Yeah. Going, if I do this, it means I'm staying on track. And
actually loving and yourself and when you're happy with what you're doing.
If you're putting it on your Instagram story and you're making a big thing of it, it makes you go, I've got to stick to this now because I've told everyone, if I don't look fabulous in 6 months, they're going to go, you're fucking posting everything or whatever long ago. If you are doing it, keep doing it if it keeps you on track. Post, 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 post.
So we've had a little nose of both. What do you think?
I don't think there is any cons really to calorie counting. I'd always say pro. I just
swear
by it.
Yeah, to be honest, after looking at everything, I would say I'm still pro for it.
Oh, 100%. Like, no one can take me away from that. It's how your body works. It's knowledge. It gives you control. It gives you the power to know where you're going with your body. You want a social life? You can still have a social life. You just balance before and after. So if you're going out the weekend, you know, to cut it down before or after and to stay balanced, to keep weight. And you can live your life, make memories, have a ball, still get pissed, still eat out, as long as you're in control of them calories throughout the week.
Literally losing weight is just maths, and it's just getting the maths right.
Too many people get on the soapbox, oh, you can't calorie, oh, look at you. The people who have the biggest problem with it are the ones who refuse to be accountable. End of.
True, true, babe.
Okay, so question time. If you want to get in touch with your questions, Twitter or Instagram at Gail Gay Jim.
We got a message from Lucy in Dubai.
In Dubai?
Yeah. Woo! Insta bio, Liverpool/Dubai with an airplane. So Lucy sent us a message saying she's been single for ages. She's met this gorge fella on Tinder.
Yeah.
And they've been going on dates. And even though she trains hard and she goes, you know, she goes to the gym, she tracks her food all week, and she is accountable for what she's eating, she's dead aware that he keeps taking her to gorge places. And she wants to live her life at the same time, yeah. But he's taking her out and spoiling her in all these places where she'd never be able to go.
Oh, what a horrible man.
But she's also dead aware that she's fallen off track a little bit. Yeah. So Lucy wants to know what she can do.
Do you know what?
If she was sending us a message from St. Helens, I'd say, Lucy, get a grip of yourself, babe. But
there's all these lovely places in Dubai to go to and try. And it's fucking expensive. Just go. Get him to take you.
I'd say the time you're not with him, just be like in a slightly bigger deficit. The times that you're not with him, if you know.
Or if you go, like, it's like, we were talking about this today in the gym, how it's quite easy before you know it in the week you vet out three or four times because it's you're that busy, it's easy to go, and isn't it? So if she's now eating out every time she sees him, why can't they just have one night a week where they go out and do something quite lavish, and maybe she can cook for him at home or he can cook for her at home, and they can have like a little more, be more aware of it's a healthier meal with a bit of candlelight and that in the house.
And then
you
can burn it off straight after.
Well, that's it. Only if she goes on top.
Try and, like, manipulate him in a way where you could say, like, or, like, drop hints to be like, oh, I love doing really active things, da-da-da-da-da. And try and get the dates. Yeah, get the dates to be, like, more based on activities and doing stuff that might not just revolve around food. You could grab something to eat, but where you've not got to, like, sit down and eat a four-course meal. Don't get me wrong, that's nice every so often.
But but it is so easily done, isn't it? But like you say, that's a great idea. Be more active. Go for a walk after your dinner.
Yeah.
Together, nice little hand-in-hand walk down the prom or whatever you have there.
The prom?
Yeah, the prom.
The fucking prom.
Okay, so we've got Thomas from Buckinghamshire who sent him on in saying he's been training now three times a week doing weights and it's been about 6 weeks and he's not seen any results. Help, help, help.
It depends what you're training for. If you're training, doing weights to lose weight, are you still eating a calorie deficit? If you're trying to get bigger, are you eating in a calorie surplus? Are you tracking that at all? Are you hitting your protein targets? And then also progressive overload. So are you increasing your weight as you get stronger? Are you being consistent? Are you doing
compound lifts? Well, that's what I was going to say. I'd just say straight off, I go 6 weeks. Bloody hell, give it time, isn't it?
Yeah. If this was after 6 months, then it'd be concerning, but after six weeks.
6 weeks, I'd just say stick at it. Like you say, are you lifting weights heavy enough to change the shape of your body or eating at the deficit like we spoke about to lose the body fat? But as long as you're tracking what you're doing, you're getting in what you're meant to be doing, you're working, the whole body of it is a weighted workout. I'm guessing that from that message, it sounds like it's more to do with weights and body shape, would you say?
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I worked in the gyms, we were given this timeline when we were in sales. So basically, you have the feel, the see, the maintain, and it's all about how you feel the first few weeks. So it's that sense of achievement. You feel good because you're getting it done. And see, do you know what? See didn't come into it until after around 8 weeks. So it says from, I think it was 6 to 12 weeks of C. So you could just be getting to the point now where your body is going to start changing and show results. But the first 6 weeks, if you've only just started, is all going to be about how you feel. Just keep at it, be consistent, do what you've got to do. If you're not sure whether you're doing the right thing, go to your PT or your gym instructor in your gym and just get them to check over it and make sure that you're on doing what you need to do. And give it another 6 weeks and then let us know. I'm sure you'll be in a different situation then.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter.